lift off and the clock has started.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to That Pixel Life. This is episode 175, recording on January 23rd, 2022. My name's Zach Anderson. Shannon Moore. And this week, we are discussing the biggest gaming news story maybe ever. And to do this, I have with me Mr. Zach, I'm doing my best Charlie Brown teacher impersonation, Anderson.
Hi, how are you, Shannon?
I am great. This has been an awesome weekend of football for you. Twitter feed is going bonkers. How are you doing? Like, can you handle the excitement?
It's one of those things. I know most people listening to this probably don't care, but yeah, man, it's been insane. Like, three of the four games have come down to a time expiring kickoff or field goal for win, which is nuts. Things have happened this weekend that have never happened before. Like, a team has fumbled three times and won. Joe Burrow got sacked nine times and won. Like, what? Like, cats and dogs living together, complete pandemonium. It's been a hell of a weekend. On the plus side, thank you for hosting, because my microphone, as you maybe can tell from my audio quality, has totally crapped the bed. And I am down to the dregs here. So,
yeah, I think it's time you start an Only Dad's account and maybe mm-hmm. do some like power washing, raise some money to get one of them new mics.
I did a whole bunch of gardening today, except that was for, you know, my wife and not for the fans. So that didn't pay as well as I would hoped.
Anything to get some green on those New Balances, right?
Right, man. Well, it was more mud on my work boots, but, you know, still, it's the thought that counts.
Well, you know, somebody's doing some cleaning at their house, because the other host on the show is Justin Calibound Carter.
I know, it's your boy. I am going to be in California next weekend. We're going to go get tattooed by Stephanie up there. So we're leaving Friday after work, and then we get tattooed.
You're getting tattooed by my wife? I wouldn't recommend that. You really shouldn't do that.
You wouldn't?
No, she's not the most experienced tattoo artist.
Like, for Christmas, though, like, I figured, you know. But
I mean, hey, it's your skin. I'm just saying what I would do. That's all.
You're like full chest piece.
Yeah, right. Here we go.
But yeah, so we're leaving Friday after work, and then Saturday we're getting tattooed, and then we're coming back like Sunday morning and stuff. So we're just staying with her. But I'm gonna get. I don't know if either of you have seen Gravity Falls, but I'm gonna get Bill Cipher on my left arm.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I've seen him before.
Very nice. Very nice.
And I also wanted to point out, so Zach, in his between all the sports talk on Twitter, he posted on Twitter about like how like he hates yard work. And I was like, my guy, like, you got 70 hours on Power Wash Simulator. Like, how can you say that? Like, he didn't understand. Like, you know, it's like when I pick up all the dog shit in my yard, mm-hmm. I do kind of stand there for a minute. I'm like, the yard's clean for like another day. And you get that like proud owner. I feel like that's how you feel like when you accomplish something in the yard. But Zach was like, dude, yard work blows. Like, nothing good comes from it. I hate it.
I think the difference there is that you want to get the shit up because it stinks and the yard looks more presentable and better. And then Zach was pretty much ordered to do the weeding today. So,
well, so, you know, here's what it is. It's always a, like, it's no secret around this house that I do not like doing yard work. I am not one to trim hedges or pruning or doing any of these sorts of things. I work hard to not do any of that stuff. But every once in a while, something that requires a lot of heavy lifting or something is needed. And that's where I come into play. And one of those things was my wife had a bunch of massive planters that during the rains filled up with water and never could dry out. And the mud that was in them is now stinking and moldy because it did not dry. So I had to dump those out, which was a real fun job, by the way. And then I figured out why they weren't draining, because someone, I'm not naming names, never put draining holes in the bottom of these pots, even though they were already there and you just had to pop them out. So I had to pop out the draining holes and put in the pea gravel and put the dirt back in, and it just, sucked.
I mean, but you can just say Jonathan didn't do it, Zach. It's okay.
I mean, you know, I'm not going to throw my kid under the bus like that. But.
Give it another couple years.
Yeah.
Totally. I mean, at that point, I might have just, like, done, you know, taken a page out of the cat's book and just knocked the vase over and watched it crumble and be like, oh, it's broke.
Yeah.
Gotta leave it.
No, but then I'd have to clean that up, too. So.
Yeah, sorry. I mean, it's a time cost benefit there. Is it cheaper to just do the work and stay quiet, or is, you know, breaking it the better solution? But to segue into something pretty popular in the news, talking about cost, Microsoft bought Activision Blizzard this week for $70 billion. Now, you know, that lit the Twitter sphere on fire. There was a lot of, you know, questions as to when this was going to happen, when it was going to, you know, when the final, you know, ink on the paper was going to be dried, what that meant for top management at the company, what that meant for the games. You know, there was a lot of hubbub, you know, Phil Spencer came out and said that he wants to keep Call of Duty on PlayStation. So he basically quashed that right out the gate. But I wanted to toss it to I'll go to Justin first, and we will see what your take is on it. What do you think?
Dude, it was pretty crazy. It was pretty funny going on Twitter. I saw like a bunch of my like indie dev friends and stuff saying like, man, they're like, I hope nobody launched a game today because it is going to be drowned out on social media by the acquisition of Blizzard. And it's a pretty big power move. Like that's a lot of money to have tied up in something that's like pretty much a sinking ship at the moment. And, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, here in the next like 3 years that we'll see some sort of positivity and stuff like change at Blizzard. Like I know they're keeping our favorite toy boy, Bobby Kotick, and stuff on payroll for right now. But hopefully, you know, once the transition period of them acquiring and like kind of merging it into the Microsoft like sphere and stuff, they'll eventually kick him out, like, because he won't be needed anymore.
I mean, they have come out to say that the deal isn't going to be done until 2023. So Bobby Kotick is going to be in place until then, at least. But inside sources have said that it is promising that there is a whole top-down clean house mentality with Microsoft that's going to happen once they finally get the reins. Zach, do you think that this is going to be like a whole like fire sale, like get rid of everybody, clean up that image, and put out these games that they've been shelving for a while?
I do, and I think it's a pretty safe bet that it happens, because I mean, they have to keep current leadership in place until the deal closes, because if they comment publicly in any way about like, oh, we're definitely clearing house or anything like that, it counts as like stock manipulation, and the deal will fall through at that point. So they essentially have to be like, nope, everything's staying totally the same. We're just buying it. Hi guys. You know, like that's like legally all they can say. But I think this is a way. It reminds me a lot of Donald Sterling with the Clippers, where he was the worst, everyone hated him, and eventually all the NBA could do was just force him to sell the team. So he did, and everyone was mad that he got like $2 billion, but that was the cost of getting rid of him. So I think that's the thing with when you read that, you know, Kotick as the largest shareholder of Activision is going to walk away with like $300 million from the sale. It's a bitter pill to swallow, but at the same time, it's just the cost of getting rid of him and everyone else and all of his lackeys. So it sucks. I mean, straight up, that sucks. But you got to have some hope that the legal process also will pay some dividends here in the interim. And you got to believe of the $70 billion Microsoft has dog-eared one to just clean up the legal mess from all this and make it all go away as fast as possible. You know, it's just going to be one of those like, yeah, we're paying everyone. We're just moving forward. Everyone, we're just going to pay you. Hey, let's move on. Let's move on with our lives. And I really think this announces a huge shift in Microsoft, because like, I didn't realize this until I read it. This wasn't the biggest like gaming acquisition in Microsoft's history. This was the biggest acquisition in Microsoft's history, period. Like, of anything they've ever acquired or bought in the company's lifetime, this was the biggest acquisition. And you don't do that unless you're saying, like, we're here for the next couple decades, you know?
Now, do you think that this is... I forgot what I was going to say. Jesus Christ, I just had the biggest brain fart. But, you know, this... going back to what Justin said, he thinks that Xbox is a sinking ship. Now, I would say that this is more of a step to the pivot to Microsoft's, you know, gaming service with, you know, Games with Gold and all those other things. Do you think that if there's a next generation that Xbox is going to put out another console, or do you think they're just going to hard pivot to an online universe?
I think the plan eventually is to go to nothing but a cloud-based service, or like, you know, apps for your phone or TV or things of that nature. But I gotta believe we're like a decade plus away from that. Like, it wouldn't shock me if the next one is the Xbox Series Z or something, and it's just another iteration upgrade. I don't know if we'll get a hard new console edition, maybe ever. I don't know. But it is interesting to me, because I think this purchase, and I want to get your guys' thoughts, is really more about it puts Sony in a real hard spot to say you can't have Game Pass on this service when Call of Duty is the number one and number three selling software for the system. And they're like, yeah, you can have Warzone. Warzone's free. You can download that like Minecraft or like Rocket League. No problem. Like, it's on everything. But if you want that new Call of Duty, the one that was the number one and number three sellers for you, maybe let us put Game Pass on your system.
Yeah. I also am curious. Like, I mean, you put out a tweet this week that said that PlayStation is now like the Sega of this modern generation. And I wonder if that's... I mean, it had to take a lot of wind out of PlayStation sales when they saw that tweet, or like they saw that news article come out. Like, how do you get in front of that if you're Sony? Like, what do you do?
Oh, you got to think there were a lot of panic board meetings Tuesday around the Sony offices. And that was the other side of it. You could tell reading all the journalist stuff and even from everyone from like New York Times down to, you know, podcast XYZ, no one had an idea that this was coming. Like, zero people had any feel for this at all. And then it just got dropped like an atomic bomb on the gaming industry. And so, yeah, you got to imagine Sony was like hard panicked. But it's like, you know, and to be clear, Microsoft buying Activision makes them number three behind Sony still, as far as like gaming revenue goes. So you got to wonder if this makes... You know, sorry, my children are being very loud. You got to wonder if this makes Sony be like, okay, so do we pick up a Square? Do we go buy Capcom? Do we do something to shore up our offerings now? That, because Microsoft has gotten so big with Bethesda and now Activision. I don't know, to be honest. Or do they go pour more money in-house and really double down on their single-player experience games?
Well, I'm also kind of wondering if this also leads into some type of like monopoly, like kind of territory for Microsoft, because they're starting to buy up some pretty big fish in the gaming industries. And I'm wondering if that's in the sake of competition and you know, evolution of the gaming industry, if that's going to be something that they'll run into.
I don't think so, simply because, like I said, they're still number three. If this made them clearly number one in revenue across the board, I think that would be an argument as far as a regulatory thing goes, like Senate hearing-wise. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they're still not big enough to even be number one after this acquisition, I don't think that holds water. And, you know, this isn't their first rodeo when it comes to acquiring companies. They know how to navigate these waters. They know how to get through it. And they wouldn't be on the hook for this much money unless they knew they could do it type mm-hmm. thing. Mm-hmm. Now, if in 6 months they also acquire, I don't know, Ubisoft or, you know, like Square or one of these companies, then you start to get into the like, maybe we need to take a harder look at what you're doing here. But right now, I think for me, looking at everything, and Justin, I want to get your thoughts too. Like, for me, this looks like a hardcore pressure play to get Game Pass on Sony stuff.
Well, like, and for me, I think with everything that's gone on with Blizzard over the past couple of years, like they saw an opportunity, and it's like, you know, it like 4 years ago, I don't think the sale would have ever happened, but because of what's happening now, they saw the opportunity, they threw a number at them, and obviously went back and forth. They're like, they entertained the offer, and they're like, all right, we got our chips on the table. What do you guys want to do? I actually think, you know, so apparently, you know, it's been rumored for a while about Sony, like, buying Konami, and it's like, dude, now's the time to do that. Like, you know, that's not going to cost you $70 billion, but that they also have, again, a nice fucking list of dead franchises that they can Silent Hill, Castlevania, like Metal Gear Solid, like, yeah, bring some of those back. Like, those will make money if you make a good game of it.
Interesting. Speaking of games that are a company that has a catalog of games, what Activision Blizzard game would you like to see Microsoft bring back? You know, they have quite an extensive catalog. Is there anything on that list of Wikipedia, you know, that Wikipedia list that we have up of games that you would like to see Activision Blizzard bring back?
I mean, for me, the two big ones, like, one, I think, like, I loved Geometry Wars, like, back in the day and stuff, when that was like the hotness, like a new Geometry Wars, like on Switch or something, would be, or even Game Pass, now that you can play like Game Pass on mobile and stuff, that'd be a great addition to like their library. And the fact that, you know, they also have Tony Hawk, like, yeah, give me Tony Hawk 3 remastered. Give me a brand new one that's in the spirit of like 1 through 3 and stuff, that isn't like the when they started to like hop off the board and tried to do like too much. Like, no, go back to basics. Just give me some good levels, some decent DLC with it, like, you know, 6 months later, and I'll be happy.
Well, and that's the thing that I think is actually the, you know, is kind of the unwritten story of what this could mean is, you know, like, Microsoft needs studios to make content, you know, like for Game Pass at this point. Activision has a ton of studios, you know, like, sure, everyone talks about like Treyarch and Blizzard and all that, but like, dude, the studio that made Spyro was working on Call of Duty. The Vicarious Visions released Tony Hawk 1 and 2 to incredible praise, and then they got absolved and sucked into Call of Duty. Raven was making amazing games, and then they got turned into a Call of Duty studio. Microsoft has a wonderful opportunity here to be like, no, 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 no. We're going to make Call of Duty and maybe not annualize it. We've got Warzone. Warzone's the annual thing. That's fine. Maybe Call of Duty becomes an every 2 year thing. Every 3 year thing. There's just an Infinity War. Just Treyarch. Maybe just the two of them going back and forth in different directions or whatever. But like, you can now have a Vicarious Visions that makes your Tony Hawk games. You know, you can break these studios back out and do these things that, you know, that Microsoft needs, to be quite frank. Like, they need the content. And you have a bunch of studios in-house to make it, which I think would roll. And yes, Justin, I want Tony Hawk. I want more Tony Hawk.
But I mean, that's all like that's fine and dandy. I'm glad that they have this coming down the pipe, but this is all very long term. Like, I mean, you're not going to be able to get like a Tony Hawk game out or anything like that within the next year or two, right? I mean, so
this won't even close for a year.
Yeah,
you know,
but
so.
Still, I mean, this is like that's what I'm saying. This is kind of like maybe 5 year plan, maybe,
but I think that's. The money involved shows the commitment to the 10-year plan. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Microsoft's goal is probably to have a Microsoft Game Studio release every month on Game Pass, you know, eventually.
Yeah, I was going to say... Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, I was just going to say, now they've got 30 developers, like, in-house with this acquisition. So
yeah, I was just going to say, like, they might not be able to make, like, new games like right away, but I mean they could get it queued up to like start just bringing everything to Game Pass so that once the deal's like done they can be like boom, like this week like Diablo 3 and this is coming to Game Pass, and then like in a month like this is gonna happen. So like most of this stuff is already on Xbox or like whatever, so it's not even like they have to necessarily port it and stuff. It's just they just get it on the cloud or whatever for Game Pass and have it working for them.
Totally.
Now, with this acquisition, one of my Twitter followers, Enchanter Tim, he is a friend of yours as well, Zach. He is brought up that, you know, with this, you know, Call of Duty acquisition into Microsoft, do you want to see more Call of Duty themed things in the Halo multiplayer? Maybe like a killstreak reward where you're playing and you have a... You know, an airstrike come in, you have like some, you know, Banshee support, like strafe the map or something like that. Or, you know, what features do you think would make Halo multiplayer better, Justin? Anything?
Dude, I want, I mean, for me, like the only thing I could even think of, I'm like, that would be fun is I want like from Call of Duty and stuff, like they have like the little fun tags and stuff. Like I want my little weed, like blunt trauma, like tag in Halo. Like, that'd be fun. Yeah, I'd be down for that. Like, I think they could do some fun little like Easter egg, like references and stuff from like Call of Duty or something, you know, in there would be fun. Like, you know, cause Call of Duty does some fun. Like, you know, they had the Arnold Schwarzenegger, like the different season pass or like whatever battle pass, like stuff with the little fun voices and carry like Rambo and stuff like that. Like they could do something like fun like that, but with like, you know, within Halo.
John McClane in space.
I mean, I mean, okay, like sure.
All right.
I mean, the thing I would take if you could just pick and choose whatever to make the Halo experience better, the store experience. Like the store from Halo is awful, and Call of Duty, they've got that to a sweet science. Like, that is, everything is right at your fingertips and very easy to spend your money. Halo makes you go like, hey, you sure you want to spend that? You sure? You sure you want? Maybe click through four more things. Maybe you think about it on your way. So, yeah.
Yeah, but, you thought it was hard just with the new Microsoft verse? Like, try navigating through Steam to buy something on the Microsoft right. store. I mean, dude, I must have spent like an hour with you on while we were playing trying to figure that out.
Well, and the other side of this is the PC side of it now. Cause, you know, I mean, by buying Blizzard, you now own Battle.net, which is insanely huge. I mean, sure, WoW is way down from what it used to be, but Battle.net is still Battle.net, and there's a lot of people there that have leaned on it for a long time with Diablo and Overwatch and StarCraft and all those properties over the years. And I mean, I'm hoping that there's something they can pull from there, from those teams, to make a seamless PC interface, because the Xbox app sucks. You know, it's bad. And which is crazy, because like, it's Microsoft, but like, you think OS, that's the thing they could fix on some level, you know, but like the console one is great. The PC one sucks. So it'll be curious to see how that fits. That being said, I'm hyped that Diablo is going to launch on Game Pass now.
Yeah. Don't have to buy it.
Microsoft's Diablo, you know.
I was going to say, does this change your mind on, because like, I personally, I haven't bought anything from either, you know, so from Activision Blizzard since like all the shit hit the fan. Now, does this change how you view them as far as buying like the Diablo 3 or whatever? I mean, like, where do you stay? What, I guess, what are your final thoughts on this? Like, does this change your outlook on the company as a whole right now? Are you lifting your embargo on their games?
Not until the sale goes through. Because and that's not to say Microsoft is flawless and without its issues, because, I mean, every company is, but you got to imagine they're going to come in with a much better set of legal parameters and consequences internally and things like that to make their employees feel at least safe, you know, at work, which is something Activision has not been able to do. But I also get the feeling you're not going to see any of these games until the sale goes through.
Yeah.
I would be stunned if they dropped Diablo 4 and Overwatch 2 this year. I would just be stunned at this point. So,
well, Justin, yeah. What do you think?
I mean, I would if and when, like, you know, I imagine most of these games, like, they are going to have stuff that's going to come to Game Pass. Like, I don't know, but it's like if Diablo 2 Remastered came out on Game Pass, like, I would definitely download it and play it. Like, or four, like, you know, whatever, if any of them eventually come out on Game Pass at that point here in the next, like, few years, I'd definitely check it. I probably wouldn't buy it. Like, if it came, if, like, Diablo 4 came out, like, this year, I probably wouldn't buy it. But if it came out on Game Pass in, like, 2-3 years, I would definitely download it for free.
Well, that's funny, because you're 100% right. If Diablo 4 launches this year, no way in hell am I buying it. I'm just waiting.
Yeah,
I'll grab it when it comes out on Game Pass, because I know it's coming. Thank you.
Dude, speaking of which, too, I want to hop back a little bit real quick. When you said, when we were talking about, you didn't think that, like, Xbox would, like, say, have another console pretty soon that, you know, just going straight cloud. I was sitting there. Has there been a single game that's come out for the Series X that's only for the Series X?
I don't think so. No,
I can't even think of one. Like, I mean, PlayStation has PS5 exclusives, but everything that's come out has just been on Game Pass, and you can play it. Like, I've been playing all the new stuff on my original Fat Boy Xbox One. So it's like, I mean, I can't think of one thing that's exclusive for the new console.
Because that was their whole thing with smart delivery, right? Whereas, like, oh, we'll just remove texture packs and we'll remove, like, things that make it impossible to run, essentially, like, you know, graphic options and stuff. Like, it's essentially the, like, equivalent of putting a shitty graphics card in your PC type thing, where it's like, yeah, we'll just make it run and it looks bad, but it runs. And that's our whole thing with that. But I mean, I, you know, like, playing Halo Infinite on the OG Xbox One and the Series X, they look like very different games, but technically it's the same game. So,
well, yeah, I mean, I was playing on the Xbox One with you guys, and I mean, my load times, of course, are probably going to be worse, but I mean, in actual matches and stuff, like, I didn't have any issues.
Oh, so you were the reason the levels were taking so long to load. Okay.
Probably. That you guys were just waiting for me. That's like Forza. Every time I boot up Forza, man, that's like, I get up and go to the fucking bathroom, like, cruise Twitter. It's like a 6-minute fucking wait for that game to boot up.
It's the old Metal Gear Solid, like, yeah, we're installing. Why don't you go make a sandwich?
And I'm like, it's like loading my house. I'm just like, dude, I just want to drive. Like, dude, come on, man.
Just put me behind the wheel.
I was going to say, so, I mean, that's, I guess, a pretty good segue. Do you want to go into what we've been playing this week?
I mean, can.
I mean, is there any more news that you guys wanted to talk about?
I thought it was hilarious that Sony's stock price dropped 20% on the news of the Activision sale.
Well, I mean, a lot of people on Twitter were like, this is doom and gloom. I mean, like, you know, they were like, yeah, Sony's, like, screwed. There's nothing that they have that is going to rival, you know, this acquisition. And I would beg to differ. I think Sony's got a lot to offer. You know, I think Horizon's going to do pretty well for them coming up in less than a month. I wouldn't give up on Sony yet. I know they're pretty stagnant as far as, you know, innovation with their console or with their ecosystem. You know, there are rumors that they're going to have backwards compatibility come out with the next update for the OS for their systems so that you can play PlayStation 3, 2, and 1 games. So, I mean, they have something. They're just not overly communicative.
Again, they're still the number two platform. But and number one is, what's the Chinese company that owns everything? They own like League of Legends now. And I'm like, I'm totally blanking on the name. But yeah, so they're, it's killing me. It's killing me. I can't remember. But yeah, I mean, they're still the number two gaming company in the world. It's not like they're like totally, dropping off or anything like that. Tencent is the company I was trying to, Tencent is number one. The thing with my cheeky little Sega 2.0 tweet that I made earlier this week was like, I don't think it happens this year, next year. I don't think it happens in like 5 years. It's the thing 10 years from now when Game Pass is just the ubiquitous form of how people get their games that I worry for Sony unless something happens. And it might be as simple as them abandoning their, Spartacus Game Pass competitor and just putting Game Pass on their system. And it's like, hey, because I have a PS5. I want to play Horizon. I want to play all their single player experiences. That's why I bought it. Like, I want those games. But I am at the point now, because I also have an Xbox and a PC, that third party stuff and indies, I don't really need to buy it on a PlayStation at all. Like, the first thing I do is check and see if it's on Game Pass. And then I think about it real hard if it's not. And I usually find something else on Game Pass to download instead. It's hard to beat just download instead of spend money. So,
yeah. And I mean, ultimately, if it's more comfortable for me to go through the Epic Game Store or Steam or, or the Xbox app on my computer, like, I'm going to do that. It's just it's a more comfortable spot for me to play my games.
And with Epic or Steam or Itch or anything, it's usually cheaper too. Mm-hmm. It just is, especially with indies. So
yeah,
it's a bummer. And that's what's hard too. Is like, even the PlayStation Now and stuff isn't even really comparable, because it's like it's all just old shit. Like, if they wanted to try and rival it, they would have to actually put new releases on it.
I just don't think they can financially do that.
No, and I don't even financially. It's like, I just don't even think like they would, period, just as like a principle of like, we're not doing this.
Well, I think if they could do it and still be profitable, they would, just for a competitiveness. Because, I mean, sure, if they offered day one PlayStation games on that and I knew I was getting Horizon day one, I would sign up for it. Why not? It's why I did Game Pass. It's like, I know I'm going to buy Forza. I know I'm going to buy Halo. So that there pays for the year of Game Pass. And I feel like I've completely got my money out of it with those two games, plus all the crap my kids have discovered over the year, myself, have downloaded. So it's like, if I can look at, I know I'm going to buy Horizon. I know I'm going to buy God of War. Anything else is just gravy. Sure, give it to me. I just don't think they can financially do that. They don't have the coffers that Microsoft has. They're making more money, but they don't have more money. So,
dude, I just thought of it too. That's one of the other things. If Sony wanted to play hardball, they should also pick up From Software.
Yeah, From would be a good pickup for sure.
Especially, with Bloodborne and stuff, like, getting Bloodborne 2, PS5, fucking exclusive.
Yeah. Well, and you would lock down Elden Ring and all that stuff and everything that's going to come from that. But I also just, lock down Square. Make them return Final Fantasy to the Sony exclusive it used to be. Come home, Tifa.
Yeah, that'll be a whole nother ball of wax, because it's probably going to be another 20 years before Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 2 comes out. So,
yeah.
No return on investment there. One more question I have for you guys before before we move on. Do you think this acquisition would have been possible without all the legal troubles that Activision Blizzard was in this year? Do you think that they were talking about it beforehand, or do you think they saw an opportunity and they seized it?
They definitely seized it. I mean, there's no way, like, there's no way that, like, Blizzard would have sold unless, like, you know, they're had their arm kind of behind their back. Like I said, Microsoft may have made pitches to them in the past, and you're just like, huh, yeah, you're silly. No. And then now they're like, well, now this money's looking pretty good when we're in hot water right now.
Yeah, I mean, $70 billion is nothing to shake a stick at.
Yeah, no, I agree with Justin completely. I would argue they almost got it half off at $70 billion. I think they saw the writing on the wall, and Phil Spencer lobbed a phone call to Bobby Kotick and was like, how would you like a way to get out? I can make you some money. It'll make your shareholders money. You're going to look like you won, but you're going to get out. And this is all going to be over, and then it's just my problem now. Let's have this be my problem, you know? And I think it wouldn't shock me at all if a phone call kind of went that way, and then they started talking from there. Because, you know, in a world where they don't have any scandals, Diablo 2's out. Diablo 4 is out. Overwatch 2 is out. They've gotten, you know, none of the hubbub around this Call of Duty happens, and Call of Duty sells gangbusters. It's killing it right now. It's the game everyone's playing that's not Halo. You know, and they're probably valued, instead of $70 billion, more in the 100 to 120 range. And so, yeah, this deal never happens because they're worth too much. And I think that, you know, Kotick dug his own grave, and Phil Spencer called and was like, how would you like a ladder out of there? You just have to leave, though, is the thing. But how would you like a ladder?
Phil's on the phone with Bobby, and Bobby's like, hey, hold on, Phil. And he's like, hey, sugar tits, set up a meeting with Phil.
Jesus.
Jesus Christ. Fuck, man. Well, on that note, let's go into what we've been playing this week.
He's like, oh, I'm just watching Mad Men, Phil. That's just the TV. Don't worry about it.
So. Yeah, I know. Oh, good. So, Zach, why don't you start off? What have you been playing this week?
So I'm playing a crazy little game that I saw go on sale on Steam called Timberborn. And it had made some waves before. I, as any longtime listener here knows, I love me some RTSs. And it's an RTS, essentially, / city builder, where you are, it's post-apocalyptic, but your society is beavers. like sentient beavers. And it's adorable. You're setting up like a little beaver town. You got beavers out there chopping trees down and building lodges and dams and stuff. Everything's run off like wind power and water power, and you can build a whole little thing. And it's fun because it's an early access. It's got some rough edges, but it's all stuff that, like, looking through the dev logs, they know is rough. And they just released their first big update, which added some buildings, and there's like basically good beavers and bad beavers. I have not played as the bad beavers yet, but they're the industrial beavers that are like looking for metal from the fallen ruins and machining things out of them. Hmm. They're basically turned their back on the wood and they've embraced the metal. So, but it's a lot of fun. It's really cute. It was like $20 on Steam, and I took the dive on it because I'm a sucker for these type of games, and it's entertaining. It being early access, there are some things that you will hit. I came across and was like, I have no idea what to do from here. Like, there is nothing, there is no tutorial, there is nothing in the text that says, hey, maybe try this now. It's like, I guess I'll stop here. I don't know. And then it makes you go on, like, you know, digging through Reddit threads and shit with other people that are like, how the hell do I move on from this? And the developer being on there like, oh, God, I'm sorry. Try this and this and this, you know. But it's fun. It works. I'm excited to see what it looks like moving as they build on it going forward. Outside of that, I've played a lot more Halo multiplayer.
You son of a bitch.
So my entire house was on COVID lockdown last week. So during the daytime when I wasn't on my emails, I had a lot of downtime. And played a lot of Halo multiplayer because I didn't know what else to do. And guys, that's still really fun. That's still really good.
Zach's like, I actually want to play with some good people for once on a multiplayer.
Yeah, I want to get more than two wins.
it was hilarious. There was a because the first two games in the matchmaking, I was like easily the fucking lead balloon on the team. Like I was just sinking us horribly. And then the second in the event, I forget what it is, but the second match of the event, I think the machine was like, oh, this guy is horrible. We're just going to put him with other. And all of a sudden, my kill death was like 12-3. Like, I was just wrecking shop. I was like, I am a god. I don't know what happened. I'm amazing. Like, I was getting all these, like, you know, badges, the, like, achievement stuff. Like, I had a kill streak of, like, 6 at one point. It was nuts. And yeah, it was fun. It was good times. But, yeah, that's kind of all I've been playing. So
nice. Try to keep.
I started up a Pokemon Diamond Run because my kids stopped playing it finally. So I took the cart and started up a game of my own. But I'm only less than an hour into that, so can't really speak to it yet.
You picked a good place to stop when the new Pokemon game comes out on Friday.
Well, someone's birthday is next week. So I'm hoping it'll show up around then in these parts.
Interesting. Well, Justin, what have you been playing this week?
So funny enough, this is, I think, the first time since I've been a part of the show that I actually didn't play anything this week. Whoa. Yeah, I know. I was incredibly busy all week, but even though I wasn't playing stuff, I was making stuff.
Ooh.
And I worked on Negative Space quite a bit this week. My playtester Surge has been harassing me for months for a new build. And I went to my friend Matt's birthday party, and he was there. And he was like, Justin, he's like, give me a new fucking build. And I was like, I know, I'm working on it. I was like, I've been working on it. I'm just playtesting stuff. And he's like, I don't care. And he's like, stop playtesting. He's like, that's my job. And he's like, just make the build and send it to me. So I was like, fine, I'll do that. So I made him a new build, and he recorded himself playing, and I was watching it today, and it was pretty funny seeing him play some of the new stuff. And he got to a part where in like one of the later worlds where it was broken, and he's like, oh, well, I guess this level's not like done or whatever, so I'm just going to stop here. And I was like, it's broken because you didn't let me finish fucking fixing everything like I told you I was doing, and then you harassed me and said you didn't care and to just make you a new build. So I didn't get that far into fixing stuff, and then you made me make you a build, so this is what you get. So I worked on that quite a bit this week. And then in addition to that, the Global Game Jam 2022 also started this week. It started on Friday. I've participated in it before, but it was like years and years ago, like probably like 6 years ago. And usually it's 3 days. Usually it's like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and it's usually like the last, like whatever, like of January. But because of COVID, they actually extended it. So instead of being like 3 days, it's from January 20th until the 31st.
Wow.
And yeah, so that's a big, which I'm like, that's great for me. Cause you know, I was like, normally it's like, dude, like when I participated in it last time, it's like, yeah, I can be here like one day to work on it with you guys, but it's like, I'm hella busy on the weekends. So it's like, I can only have so much time. So the fact that they extended it, it's like, cool. Like I actually have time. Like I can work on it after work some and stuff. It's not me crunching, trying to like fit it all into 3 days. And me and Matt have been working on it. So the theme for this one is duality. And we were brainstorming, and I woke up Sunday morning and I had the idea for the game, and I was like, this is it. So what we're working on is a little game. It's called Shrimp Fried Rice. And
I'm into it already.
Yeah. And you play as a shrimp who's a chef. And that's the duality, is you have to make shrimp fried rice for a customer, but you're a shrimp. So you have to catch your own kind and kill them to make this dish for the customer. So the game starts out and it's in multiple stages. And so the first part of the stage is a fishing game. So you have to go fish for the ingredients, and there's shrimp. There's fish in the water that fuck up. It's almost like a gachapon, like claw game. And there's fish that like hit the claw and will fuck it up. And like, there's like an urchin at the bottom that you can get and stuff that's really good to add to the dish. But then there's also bad ingredients floating in the water. Like there's a boot, there's dead fish like floating around. And then there's also at the bottom, instead of an urchin, you can grab a rock, which if you get a rock, what ends up happening is when you move on to the second stage, you have to make your dish, and it becomes like Cooking Mama, and you have to make the dish, but with all the ingredients you caught. And so normally you would cut up the fish and the shrimp and whatever. If you get a rock, you no longer have a knife. You have a hammer and you have to smash all the ingredients. And so then you have to go through that, and everything's kind of on timer. You can undercook stuff, you can burn stuff. And then at the very end, you have to present the dish to the customer, and then you get a rating based on the ingredients that were in it and how well it was prepared.
Is like the person who eats the meal, is his name Florden Bramsey?
So initially in my like fever dream of the idea, the customer looked like Mike Tyson. I don't know
if he just ripped it right from like Mike Tyson's punch out.
You know? I don't know if that's what we're going with still. But that was my initial idea, was to have him look like Mike Tyson for some reason. But then you get raided.
He should talk normally, and then if he eats a rock, he breaks a tooth and not talks with a lisp.
And that's one. So if we have time, there was little things that like I wanted to add and like extra stuff. So that was one of the things where it's like, depending on the ingredients that were used, like if it's like you use a rock and stuff, their comments are like, man, they're like, this is really crunchy and like whatever. And for like the rating system, like S is like shrimp-tastic, and then A is like amazingly delicious, and B is like it's better than nothing, and then C is like could have been better, and then D is like
this sucks. Yeah.
And then if you honestly, if you catch nothing during the fishing game, and then during the like prep phase, you have nothing to prep, and you present them with an empty bowl, it's a zero, and they're just like oof.
You just present them with rice and they get mad.
So that will be done by the 31st and stuff. So I'll be excited to have you guys play that once it's done to see. I'm doing, besides the design, I'm doing the art and the music and sound effects, which all the sound effects I'm making with my mouth. So I'm doing an acapella style, which will be really fun. So like the timer for like clock and stuff, it's like, and then it gets 10 seconds. It's like, sizzling the, like rice and stuff. It's like, so it's gonna be pretty funny.
Now I feel really bad that we don't stream these video wise, because like watching you make those sound effects
worth it. I didn't know you were all into Foley, man. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, what have you been playing though, Shannon?
Well, you know, I played some Halo. Campaign, trying to get through that thing. And I'll give it credit. You know, I thought that it was a pretty small map, and that once I got to the spire, like, you know, after, you know, killing everything on the map and doing all of the repetitive tasks, I thought that was going to be pretty close to the end. That being said, you get to the spire and like it rockets you to like another part of the map, and there's like a whole new like place that thing that happens where now you have like people hunting you. You have Spartan killers that are coming to like take you out. You have, you know, gun towers that you got to destroy. And it, you know, the spot that I'm at right now, it's a little frustrating just because there's two Spartan killers that are, that I got to kill at this like crashed starship. And I have some really janky ass guns on my save. Like I have to go quick travel back to, you know, probably one of my spots where I can change my loadout, because I have one of those energy sniper rifles and a plasma pistol, and I got to go up against a dude who's in a mauler, and a dude that's got a you know, rocket launcher that seems like it shoots about 6 or 7 rockets at a time. And he's up on a ledge on a pedestal, and the other dude's just basically just driving around below him. So if I fall on the ground, I'm basically just mauled by the, he just runs me over. He doesn't give a shit. Doesn't even try to shoot me. Just runs me over. And the other dude blows me up if I get on top of the ship to try to shoot him. So, you know, I'm trying to balance that out and see where that's going. So, you know, there's some new life into the Halo Infinite that I'm enjoying. Other than that, played some Genshin Impact again this week. But primarily, I'm just waiting for the new Pokemon game to come out so I can dive into that on Friday.
I'm pretty hyped for that. I'm really looking forward to that one.
The more I see it, the more I just want it. Like, I'm tired of seeing on my feed, like, everybody who's playtesting it or, like, the reviewers who are putting up, like, video clips of what they're doing in the game. I'm like, I don't want to see that anymore because it just makes me want to buy it. And I want to play it, like, now. So, I mean, I get it. It's doing what it's supposed to do. Like, it's great marketing. But I'm already sold on this game, and now it's just getting annoying. I just want it. I did think it was pretty funny that a small, like, developer came out with a first-person shooter where you're actually hunting Pokemon and you're shooting them in the face. That is a pretty funny video if you want to check it out on YouTube. It's a pretty awesome game.
I saw that on Twitter. Well, I saw a post about it on Twitter. That video got removed because of copyright infringement. They got cease and desisted already by Nintendo about it. Because I saw someone was like, dude, I just started working on this and it got DCMA or whatever fucking copyright stricken off YouTube.
Oh, that's a bummer. But yeah, it was, for the time that it was up, it was pretty funny, like, watching him just go around and just use his hunting rifle to just, like, murk Pokemon in the face. Like, you know, you have...
I was just because it's like Duck Hunt, like 3 Pidgeys come flying out. And then, don't worry, I got this. And it was just like, boom, boom.
No, it was like, it was open world, right? So it was like first person shooter. You're running around like in the wooded area, and then all of a sudden, that, what was it, like that fighting type Pokemon, the one with the boxing gloves. What's his name?
Hitmonchan.
Yeah, so he comes like popping out from behind a tree, and you're like, oh shit! And he like runs at you, and he gives you like a right cross, and then like an uppercut, and you like kind of back off a little bit. And like you can see like your health bar on the bottom, and all of a sudden you just like pull out the rifle and like shoot him square in between the eyes, and he just kind of crumples over and falls down. You're like, oh no. And then like a Rhyhorn comes out and you're like, oh dude, run away. And then like he runs around the corner real quick and like shoots him in the side like 2 or 3 times and comes around, shoots him in the head when he's kind of like limping along. You're just like, whoa, this is crazy. But yeah, not the Pokemon game I want. But good effort on you for coming out with something that's gonna, you know, get recognized. Mm-hmm. A week before the Pokemon game comes out,
but we didn't talk about it in news. But did you guys see that Kirby and the Forgotten Land got a release date?
Yeah, dude, that comes out in what, March?
March 25th. Yeah,
yeah, dude, that's awesome. I'm excited for that.
That new trailer looks rad. Like, Kirby has never been one of my favorite franchises, but this game looks freaking dope. Like, I'm kind of ready for it.
Yeah, I was always kind of bored by Kirby, and this kind of seems like a, you know, this open world kind of navigation mixed with like sucking up people and getting their powers to open more parts of the level. It seems pretty cool, but I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if Kirby's my thing, dude. I don't think it is.
It totally might not be, but
yeah, it's one of those things where it's an easier like game and stuff. But it's cool. I really dig this one though because it reminds me a lot of Kirby 64 and the Crystal Shards, and that was always one of my favorite Kirby games. I get a lot of vibes like that from it.
The boss design looks really cool too. Like the few boss battles they've shown, and apparently there's co-op. Like you can have
There's a Waddle Dee Town. Yeah, you can play the entire game co-op, which I'm like, oh boy.
I can tell you right now that's going to be a big hit in this house as long as the game's good. You know.
Well, that's cool. So. That'd be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess it's that time because I'm starting to hear sirens and horns.
Oh, they're coming.
I guess we're going into some spoiler country. This week, we're going to talk some Peacemaker.
Yeah, have you seen any of the Peacemaker yet, Zach?
I have not, but feel free. I'm not worried about spoiling it. So,
well, I'm an episode behind because it's still a pretty hard watch for my girlfriend and I to sit down and watch together. She would rather watch the Book of Boba Fett, and then I would rather kind of – I'm more in the Peacekeeper mind, so – yeah, so we watch Book of Boba Fett.
So you know what happened in this house? No one here had ever watched Schitt's Creek, and we started watching that, or my wife started watching that, and then now we're just in.
So, I hear that's a pretty good show.
It's really funny, man. It's really good, but we've got one season left that we're probably going to wrap up in the next day or two. So,
damn.
Well, because it's also, they're short. It's like you get 15 episodes a season, and each episode is like 20 minutes. You find yourself watching like four episodes real quick, you know?
Gotcha.
That sort of thing.
So Peacemaker episode 3, Justin, what'd you think?
I mean, I thought it was good. I thought so far I've really enjoyed it. Like the humor and stuff in it is great. Dude, when they're in the van and the one chick has the iPad and she's showing the photos and it's the fucking vagina picture and everyone starts ripping on her and they're like, dude, you didn't know that. Oh, he's like, I don't know, just uploaded from the cloud onto the thing. Like, you gotta not sync it to the cloud, man. Like, and they were all just like ripping on her and stuff. Like John Cena just does such a great job. He's so entertaining. And he's like, you expect me to kill kids? I don't even got a goddamn dove of peace on the side of my gun. Like, he draws it in Sharpie and he's like, I can't even tell what the fuck this is on here.
Looks like a ghost. Did you look up the Berenstain Bears after that episode?
No, because I've already looked it up years ago and I already knew the answer. Like, I dove deep into the Mandela effect years ago on that, and I found that I also did not remember that it was Bernstein and not like Bernstein or whatever instead of Berenstain Bears.
Yeah.
So when they did that bit in the show, I was like laughing because I was like, oh man, I've been there. Like, I've gone down this road before.
Yeah, it wrecked me for like a good like 10 minutes. Like, I could not get it out of my head or enjoy the show until I stopped the show to look it up to see if it was Berenstain or Berenstain.
Yeah, when I first came across that a few years ago, I like hard looked at one of the covers of the books. Like, my kid had one of the books and I looked at it for about 20 minutes. Like, this isn't right. It's not Berenstain. Dude, this isn't right. Like,
when I went down that road, I literally stopped what I was doing, drove like 10 minutes down to my parents' house, and there's boxes of VHS tapes in the garage, and I had some Berenstain Bears like VHS tapes, and I was like, there's no fucking way. And I opened it, and to find out that I was wrong, I was like, no. I was like, I don't accept this.
Yeah, I cannot wrap my head around it.
Yeah, I was like, who polluted my brain with this, like, when I was young, that so much so that it imprinted for 40 years of my life?
It's the same, like, that one messed me up really bad, and then the, for Fruit of the Loom, like, the logo having the cornucopia in it, like, the fact that it doesn't, and it's like, I distinctly remember it having a cornucopia, and it legitimately does not, and I was like, nope, I can't accept that.
I thought it was a really good episode because, first of all, I kind of want to know what's going on with Peacemaker because, you know, he basically touts, you know, I have no problem killing anybody for peace. And this is like the first situation where it's like, okay, well, you know, these butterflies are here and this whole family is butterflies, kids and all. So, like, take them all out. And it's pretty cool that you finally actually get to see that, you know, the butterflies are more of a literal, description of them. When they all take their proboscises out and like drink like out of the bowls, and you know, when he shoots that dude's face off and one of them flies out, and you're just like, whoa, dude, like, what's going on? But Vigilante, you know, steps in and does his thing, and you know, to see it was, I thought that was a pretty funny exchange where like he's getting tortured and like, and John Cena's just like, do it. I don't care. I don't feel anything for him. Like, he's more of an annoyance. Just like, you could torture the hell out of him. I'm not going to do anything. And, that was a pretty funny exchange between the two.
Dude, his and Vigilante's relationship is so good. Like, that's like one of my favorite parts of the show is when the two of them go back and forth with each other. I don't remember if it was episode 3 or if it was the new one, but they had like a conversation in the car back and forth with each other. And he was talking about how Peacemaker's dad's like racist. And he's like, your dad's racist. He's like, yeah, I know. He's like, but I still love him. And he's like, how can you love him even though he's racist? And he's like, whatever, dude. He's like, your dad left your mom for another guy. And he's like, yeah, but what does that have to do with anything? He's like, I think your dad's just pretending to be gay to get away from you. And like, it's like, that's so funny.
Yeah, they get. I think they get away with a lot of stuff that would be infuriating to a lot of people, a lot of the masses, just because they say it's so tongue in cheek. Like it's just, it's part of the show. If it wasn't as campy, I wonder if it would be taken as lightly. You know, they're kind of skirting that like fine line right there. But you know, it's funny to see all of these like heroes that you never even hear of, like the judo guy, like that the short little like dude in the green, yeah,
he's
like
eating the bag of hot Cheetos.
Yeah, you know, it was pretty funny to see all the different crew members have to actually get their hands dirty in that episode. Like, you know, they all have skin in the game now, and the blonde chick, you know, shoots an innocent, you know, well, I mean, he's basically just in the wrong place at the wrong time, and. You know, I get her reasoning for it, but at the same time, like, she was always like a very unlikable like character to begin with. So I don't know if that doesn't give her any redeeming qualities. Let's put it that way. Like, I'm just kind of hoping that it, like the blonde chick and it gets iced at some point, you know,
or she'll have like a redemption moment or like something like later on.
Oh, she's pretty hard edge, man. I mean, she's bought the book.
She's like, yeah, I'm here for the mission. Like, I'm going to do what it takes to make sure the mission succeeds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder who if her dad is anything important. Because, like, she was like, yeah, I got my first Glock when I was 12. My dad gave it to me. And you're just like, okay, here we go. Like, here's the backstory. Like, yeah, your dad's a super villain of some type, too. And you're, like, bucking against him. But overall, it was a good episode. I do want to see the next one. I do want to continue watching the series. But, you know, I put out the olive branch. Hey, I'll watch this by myself if you don't want to watch this. But, you know, she's committed. She wants to, you know, be able to talk about the same things I talk about. So good on her. I give her credit. I also watched Hotel Transylvania 4 this week. You know, hard pivot.
And how is that?
Well, you know, they've been on the cruise ship. They've been, you know, hunted by what was it? Van Helsing's great-great-granddaughter. And now the vampire is in love with her. So, like, you know, there's that. I think they kind of ran out of things to do. And they're like, hey, what can we do that's still pretty cool with these monsters? And then they're like, yeah, we'll turn the monsters into humans and we'll turn the humans into monsters. And that'll be a pretty good movie. And it's all right. I mean, like, you know, for a four-year-old, it's great. My son loved it. He thought it was pretty funny. I just kind of thought it wasn't a bad waste of time. But you know, I definitely didn't feel, like it was a rip roaring good time. So yeah.
On that note, the latest season of Pokemon Master Journeys hit Netflix.
So oh, yeah?
we started watching that, and that's been really good so far. I mean, it's Pokemon. If you've watched those cartoons, you've basically seen them all before, but they're bringing a lot of people back from previous series like Black and White and Sun and Moon and stuff like that in these journeys. And so it's got an updated animation style that still is very much in the same vein as Pokemon, but looks modern at least. It's very pretty to watch and it's fun. So the kids are enjoying it and it's not painful to watch as an adult, which always helps.
Oh, yeah. Like, if I got to sit there and watch something with my kid, like, I definitely want to be entertained.
100%. 100%.
I actually went to the movie theater this week, and I went and saw the new Scream movie.
Oh, was that any good?
Dude, I loved it. Megan, who even hates horror movies, came because we went to Harkins, which they have the good pretzels. So that's one of the only reasons she came was for the pretzel. But she liked it because I tried to watch all four movies before we went to go see it. I was only able to rewatch the first two, which it doesn't really matter. As long as you've seen the first one, like, you should be fine.
Well, and also 3 and 4 are hot trash. So,
I actually like.
Oh, you're gonna argue me on that?
For the four. Four is the worst. Four is the like uh-huh. This movie tried to do what did what four tried to do. Like, with the 10 years later kind of thing and whatever. Yeah. Like, 4 fell flat on its face trying to do it. This one succeeded in doing it. I actually really like 3. I think 3 is better than 2, in my opinion. 1 is still the best, no matter what. It's a classic. But I like The thing I like about 3 is, one, it's the only movie out of all of them where there isn't two killers. There's just the one killer. And I like the fact that it's on the set of the third Stab movie, which is the series within Scream that's making fun of Scream. And people are dying in order of the script on the movie set and stuff. So they're having to like read the script and stuff to try and like figure out who's next and try and stop it. And I thought some of the kills in 3 were pretty unique compared to like what we get in like 2 and 4.
So who from the original Scream movie is in this new one? Does Courtney Cox come back?
Yes. So they had a lot of, so you have the original, oh God, what's her name? The original like survivor girl that's in
Neve Campbell.
Yeah, she's in it. You have Courtney Cox. You have Dewey, the cop, who is the love interest of Courtney Cox too. He's in it. And then you actually have you have the cop chick from 4, but then you also get the original killer from 1.
Skeet?
The boyfriend.
Skeet's back?
Yeah,
Skeet like Ulrich?
Because, and dude, it is like he's rough looking. Like they put a shit ton of makeup and like some de-aging CGI on him to make him look 18 again, because he looked like, that's the one part I did not like about the new, like I loved everything about the new movie. Mm-hmm. This is the one part that I was kind of like, this is kind of fucking weird. And I don't know why they did this. Is the main chick in the new movie, her whole thing, I don't care if you, do you care if I spoil like the twist? Okay. I didn't think so. Okay. So, cause in the first movie, there's the two killers, there's Stu. And then the other guy, I can't remember his name.
Matthew Lillard. Yeah.
Who was the boyfriend of the main chick. So the main chick in the new one is the like daughter of him. Like he had a kid with some chick in high school and whatever, and it was like a fling thing, so she's related to him. Her whole thing though is because when she found out when she was 14 by reading her mom's journals that like her dad wasn't her actual dad and that this dude was her dad, she had like a psychotic fucking episode about it. So randomly, she will, like, see him, like, in the rearview mirror of the car, like, whatever, he, like, talks to her and shit, and she's, like, afraid that she's gonna become a killer or something because he was a killer and he was crazy. But when the way she sees him is he looks exactly like he did when he died at the end of Scream 1. Like, he's wearing the white t-shirt with, like, 3 or 4 bullet holes in his chest.
Oh, geez.
And I'm like, why would... One... You were 14, like, when you even found out he was your father. Like, you've never seen this guy in person. He was long dead before you were ever even fucking born.
And she never saw him like that.
Yeah, and it's like, regardless. You never saw him with bullet holes in his fucking chest. Unless you saw some, like, forensics, like, police report bullshit with, like, the photos. Like, I don't even know how you'd really even know what he looks like, let alone, like, what he looked like when he died or, like, his personality, like, at all. Or anything. So that was like the one part, and it didn't really go anywhere with it either. And that was kind of the thing, like they just kind of added the story element in there just to get him to come back for the movie. And I was like, I don't really understand why they felt the need to go that route. The coolest part of the movie is the final fight happens at Stu's house again. Which is great. I thought that was a great callback because they're like, oh, we need to go pick up this spare inhaler from my friend or whatever. And Courtney Cox and the main girl are like following them or whatever, and they're like, where did they stop? And she's like, dude, you're not gonna believe this. And then they pull up outside Stu's house, and I'm like, oh my fucking god. So then the final fight almost plays out like very similar to the first movie and stuff, like going through the house, and it's pretty great, except the main girl has a gun this time, and she's like, nope, and she's just shooting through the doors and stuff. She's like, I'm not playing this game, and she shoots this dude in the leg, and she's like, why didn't you come out when I said, like, come out? And he's like, because you have a gun and you're fucking shooting through the doors. You just hit me. And then, like, she's fighting, like, Ghostface. And she's like, quick, grab the gun. And he's like, yeah, I would, but you shot me in the fucking leg. So he's, like, hobbling, like, for the gun. Like, I'm trying to help you. But, you know, you kind of shot me in the fucking leg when I was hiding behind the door. So it had
Scary Movie-esque. You know?
No, it had a lot of really good fun. And then the kills in this one were pretty... There was a couple that made me kind of, like, wince. That I was like, dude, this is brutal. Like, in the first 10 minutes, Ghostface comes into the one girl's house, and he's trying to stab her, and he, like, stabs her like I think once or twice in the stomach, and she's on the ground crawling, and she's trying to like get away, and he fucking curb stomps her ankle, and her fucking foot like bends upward, and he like snaps her ankle, and you just hear it sounds like he stomped on a bag of chips, and I'm like, oh my god, like that was. And then he stabs this one kid in the neck, but instead of like being in the middle of the neck, it was the side of the neck, so it goes in the neck here and comes out the other, and the blade's like pushing his neck out like as sideways, just like spraying blood out, and I was like, oh dude, that's pretty fucking gross. Like, so there was some pretty like good kills in it, and I really liked it.
Good.
Is the killer zombie Matthew Lillard?
No. No, it unfortunately was not, like, but I was like, you know, hey, you know, I thought it was really good, and I'm like, you know, I hope maybe in 10 years when the next one comes out, you know, it'll also be good. And then, you know, Courtney Cox come like wheeling out in a fucking wheelchair because she'll be like 64 at that point.
Right.
Yeah, they'll just like, you know, do some more plastic surgery and pull her face back so she looks like the Joker now.
She'll be the killer, so she'll just be behind the ghost face mask for the majority of the time.
And she'll have so much plastic surgery that she won't need a ghost face mask, so it'll just be her.
Her face will just be like, and permanently look like that.
Awesome. Well, anything else you guys want to talk about? Any other shows? Anything?
I think that's about it.
All right. Well, Justin, why don't you do me a favor and land this bad boy?
You got it. You know what, guys? Thank you guys for listening to another episode of the That Pixel Life podcast. You know, why don't you head on over to the Discord? We got some spoiler talk going on, you know, in the spoiler section. You know, I'm down to hear what you guys think of Peacemaker. Soundtrack has been on point. My man James Gunn knows how to do a soundtrack for a show or a movie. So, you know, why don't we talk about it? And if you listen to us on Spotify, why don't you give us a review? Let us know what you think. And
Zach, if Robbie was here, what do you think Robbie would say?
Robbie would say, hey guys.
You kissed your dad in the mouth?
And for the love of God, could you please get yourself a new microphone?
I'm trying, man. I'm trying.